I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I go around and I actually attend 5 different churches. And I know that's not typical. It is awesome. I am firmly believe that everybody needs to be church because that's where we rub against each other. That's where we get told when we're not quite online in love. That's where we get praised and encouraged and we get to be all that God wants us to be. And then we go out from there. He says, go out into all the nations, bring them the good news of Christ Jesus. And so that's what I do. But I didn't start that way. I started for the grandkids. And slowly over the last 5 years, the Lord has sharpened the call on my life. And so the 5 churches I go to now are one in Oregon. That's where I got saved and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. 30 years with that church. It was a long time. They are attached to a school, and I taught in the school for 23 years. So that is home, except for I haven't gotten back there for a little while yet. Second was this one. I left Oregon and headed this way after a 38-year marriage dissolved. And I needed to get out of Oregon, and I was done, and I was going to start anew, but I had no idea what to do. What do after you've been married most of your life? You know, what do you do? So I came here, and before I came, my daughter is here, and some of the grandkids are here, and before I came, I wrote to 5 or 6 different churches asking them questions. I figure I'm going to be here for 1.5, 2 years. I want to know where I'm serving. The only one that really answered back the way I wanted them to was Christ Community, and at the time it was Pastor Chris and Stephanie, and I came out of the blue. I had just gotten here, and in my car, and no Poppy yet, and I sat in the parking lot out here, and I just cried, because God said, you're home. And I thought, and they get used to this, it's normal. And I thought, after divorce and at a later age, what do I have to look forward to? And the Lord brought me here. So I was here, I've been here for 5 years off and on, like he says. I come in as I'm headed south for the winter. I hate cold and rain. I'm an Oregonian, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, does it stink in the wintertime. And then I come back this way when it starts getting too hot down there, and I get to head up to the green and to grandkids up in the northern states. Third church I went to was in Mazatlan. I go down there sometimes in the wintertime. I serve no matter what church I go to. But it's really important to me that I not sit in Poppy and just drift. I can have my devotions, I can have my worship music, but I go stale real fast if I'm not in a church with brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's just the way it is. Fourth church was in Centralia, 5th church is in Moscow, Idaho, all where family are. And what I notice is that each church has its own call. TCC was the first one, and there is a school. Their job is to raise up kids in the way they should go so that when they depart, they will not depart from that word, plant seed, plant seed, plant seed. This church was Go Love, and I needed this church after what I went through back up there. I love that this church is all about welcoming in and all of that. And to that regard, as I was coming into town, the Lord gave me a word for Christ Community, and I'll get to that in just a minute. It's a real specific word. Those of you that were here for all the tumult, you'll get the word, okay? Anyway, that's a little bit of my history. I'm headed south right now. I'm going to go in the sand where it's free to park, and there's a lot of people there, and that will be number 6 church, because the Lord has called me to a church he's calling the Fireside Chat, the Fireside Church. I'm just going to welcome people in and put the fire pit out, bring your chairs. We're going to worship. I don't know about preaching. This isn't really my thing, but we'll study the Word of God together. We'll worship together. We'll have church for all of those out there on the road full-time like me. Most of them are not churched. In fact, the vast majority are not church. They don't call a church home. Even when they go home, they've left and they've gone for so long, they don't know the new people. They don't know the kids have grown up. Very few reconnect back in. So there is a huge population on the road that need Christ and need a sense of church. And that right there is what the Lord has brought me to. Okay? Any questions? I'm a teacher. It goes that way. Okay. I'm going to read to you. In fact, I need to get my glasses if I even have them. I'm going to read to you a word, and I found it in Matthew, but the word actually is almost word for word in Mark as well. And it's a word that's particularly important to today. Can anybody out there say that our world today is all roses and glory and all that other stuff? It ain't. It ain't. It's a cesspool right now, and that's okay. It's not okay, but it's our world. See, I believe that God put each one of us here at a specific time for a specific reason. Jeremiah says, I know the plan. I have a plan for your life, and it's a plan to prosper you, no matter who's in power, who's in politics, no matter the corruption, no matter the angst. I have a plan for you. And he did not put any one of us into the 1700s or into the Middle Ages or into Jesus's time. Think about that. No, think about living at the same time as Jesus. I mean, we think of it as a really great time, but boy, the Romans were. Yeah, yeah. And he put us, he created us for such a time as this. Now, the logic of the word says that if he placed us here at this time, he has given us every tool we need to do what he wants us to do in this world at this time. Yep, the world may suck. It just is what it is. I think if you really go back over time, most everybody would say that their time was the worst time ever. But this is the time that God has for us. So what I want to look at today is encouraging you with war. I know. It's not logical, but there it is. Hold on. Okay, the apostles were asking Jesus, says, what about the time that is to come? And Jesus replied and said, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation. Excuse me. In my original church, they called me the Kleenex Queen for a reason. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world as well as famines. And we've seen that in the last couple of years, haven't we? A real increase in it. But this is only the first of the birth pains. When these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. How many Christians do we know that are in the news? They're getting persecuted. I mean, not just in the African countries, but right here. They get slammed by the media and put into places that they shouldn't ought to be in, all because they're believers in Christ. Thank God some of Hollywood is starting to stand up and say, hey, I'm a believer. Some of the athletes are starting to say, I'm proud to be a believer. But the vast majority are not. And this is the world that God put you into. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. When you are arrested and stand trial, oh, excuse me. Don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. A brother will betray a brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. A side note in this says, reader, pay attention. I like the Amplified Bible because sometimes it gives me, I'm an English teacher, and it gives me words that will unfold a different meaning to this. And that's not a real encouraging word. In that, just stand and take it, dude. You're going to make it out the end, and if not, I'm in control. Can be kind of discouraging when you're in that moment right there. So what do? The word tells you, you take a stand, and you stand. And you stand until it's your time to go. And you preach the gospel. You share the word. You encourage other people. You do all those things that Jesus has taught us to do, no matter what the world looks like. No matter what the world looks like. You were born for such a time as this. And how great an opportunity is it to shine the light when there's a whole heck of a lot of darkness around. Okay? Now, the first word, when the Lord called me and told me about going to different churches and talking to people about him more publicly than one-on-one. I like a one-on-one thing much better. First of all, the waterworks don't happen. Go into all the nations and share the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And other than Mary and her whole family, I don't know how many missionaries, quote unquote, belong to this particular body. And I had a very narrow vision of what a missionary was. Well, I went to Mexico on I don't know how many trips to help build houses for people that needed a home. Or we went to Ensenada and we've preached in other Christian schools. We've gone to conferences where we teach pastors how to be pastors. That's what a missionary is. It goes out, but then they come back. That's what it was in my head, not a live in a converted shuttle bus and travel full time and every day be open to the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, what does that look like? Here's the thing that the word is for you guys this morning. Each one of you are missionaries. I'm so proud of you and your family. I'm so proud of all you kids, and I'm proud of the way you fearlessly serve the Lord. I love it, especially in other countries, and it's tough. And I get that it's tough. Financially, it's tough. But here's the thing. Every one of you, Donna and Ken, you guys are missionaries. In your neighborhoods, you are missionaries. At work, how much God has preached in the minds. But lunchtime comes and coffee breaks come, and guess what? You don't have to say, repent of all your sins or die. You can simply share a cup of coffee and say, if they ask you why you have peace that they don't have, if they ask you any questions, opens the door. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is you have to have your ears open. Now, in regular life, sometimes that's really tough. We get busy. There's no question about it. I hear God best when I'm driving down the road because there's no distractions. That's me. But if you are aware, thank you, Father, if you are aware 24/7, even in the middle of your nights, the last 5 nights I've gotten up at 2:30 in the morning. You got to understand, I love my sleep. And the Lord knows I love my sleep. But he would wake me and I'd turn on the light and something would come in. And it would be something I go, whoa, Lord, I've been asking you for the answer to that. There it is. Boom, out of the blue. So listen and be aware, okay? God has you here in this moment at this time for a reason. Almost always, the reason God has you in a place or a situation, sometimes it is by our choice. There's no question about it. We can be real dumbheads sometimes. Truth? Come on, I'm not the only one. Thank you, Roselia, for raising your hand. Yes. Okay. Dumb decisions are part of the human condition, and we work all our lives to learn how to be more mature, to be wiser. We use the word to say, oh, yeah, maybe I'm not supposed to yell at my kids like that. Or, oh, yeah, no, she gave me extra change at the register. Do I go back and give it to her? Do I keep that $20? Okay. There's opportunities every day in every way to exhibit and to use the gifts God gave you for his purposes on earth. Now, what I started to say, Thank you, Lord. I get scattered sometimes. And I want this to be about him and not about me. Our gifts are given to us by God. Yes, I am an artist. I was raised second of seven kids in an artistic family. We didn't get TV shows and all of that. We got great big boxes for Christmas, and every year it was a different art supply. And all of us kids, everybody would jump in, and the whole month of January was doing some new kind of art. So that's common to me. But here's the thing. It's just a gift until you combine it with the Holy Spirit and begin using it for the kingdom right here and right now. It doesn't have to be great big things that grab you fame and fortune and all the other stuff. What if something you love to do triggered a mama who was just about at the end of her rope? And you were able to speak a word, just a gentle word, didn't even mention Jesus, but you were able to somehow, some way, give her a word of hope. And she went on and turned the corner. You may never, ever know the impact that your words and your actions and your being in Christ have on those around you. I'd like to speak to the men for a minute, okay? Women, we get the feelings more. It's kind of how God made us. We operate that way. And so the ooey-gooey and the tears and all that stuff is kind of part and parcel of who we are. Some of the most influential, you know the word, people in my life have been random men, a grandfather, a dad, a kid, who have spoken a word out of a male point of view that turned my corner, because I would not have ever thought that. Men, you are needed. You are needed to encourage other men. You are needed to encourage young kids. They need to see good men growing up. They need to see it. And the thing of it is that no matter how young you guys are, there's somebody younger that you can shine the light with. There's somebody older. I have been influenced by young kids in my youth group at home. I taught high school for 20 years. Boy, I'll tell you, high schoolers can be brutal. There's no question about it. But they also can come up out of the blue. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for out of the blue. And they have given me bits of wisdom and stuff that turned me around. So you can be those people. You are those people. It's not could be. You are those people. So what I want to say to you today is, I'm an encourager, that's my gift. I'm an artist, and I have a gift in that too. But if I don't use it for the kingdom, it's chaff, it's ashes. Truly it is. It doesn't have meaning. I look at, there's a free table out there. I want everybody to go and get a gift from me. And then don't just use it for yourself, use it to encourage somebody else. And yes, some of it is pretty flowery and pretty girly, and I apologize for that. I've been told I need to get more masculine in some of my art, and I just go, oh, Lord of mercy, help me. But go and get something free, because you're going to run into somebody in the next week and 2 weeks that are going to need just a word from God, and you're going to be the one to deliver it. Okay? So go use what I have provided for you to use. Our gifts. You're welcome. You're welcome. It's easy for me. I prefer giving to selling any day. Anyway, here's the thing. Whatever your gift is, whether it's being a bridge builder, I have a friend who can put two people together no matter what. She has helped reconcile more family dysfunctions than I can shout at. She's a bridge builder. She'll just sit in a situation, she listens to the Holy Spirit, and she has a gift for hearing what somebody is really saying and going, well, you know, you guys are talking the same message. That's a bridge builder. If that is your gift, God, please help you, because I don't have that gift. I'm more of the confront them and bash them over the head type. Yeah. Thank God my best friend is a bridge builder. If you're an engineer, God has given you a way of seeing that he didn't give to me. I'm a right brainer. I see art things really good. I see ooey gooey, flowy gooey stuff. I can just pick them out and just go, yeah, that's that and that and that and that. But put me in front of a schematic and I'm just going, okay, can we add some red to that? You know? So what I want you to do, what I'm asking you to do this morning, is to examine yourself. Psalm 139 says, examine me, Lord. Find any fault in me and show me the path. Show me the everlasting way. Your call on your life, whatever that call may be, is tied into your gifts, because God prepares you before you ever get into that situation and gives you the tools to handle that situation. And they come out of that part of you that God birthed, that you relinquish and surrender to when you became a Christian. So I want you to examine, what is my gift? Where am I good? And I will say this, please don't be a fathead about it. I mean, some people say, oh, I'm really good at this and I'm really good at this, and they don't understand that you were really good at that 20 years ago, but you ain't so good at it anymore. I'm in my 60s, upwards. There's things that I did at 35 that I could do at 35 that I can't do at 69. It's just the truth. So examine yourself in light of the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, what gifts do I have and how can I build them? How can I nurture them? And then you take it the next step out and you say, how can I encourage others with this gift? If you give me 5 situations this week, Lord, I promise I will say something. I will do something. I will somehow, some way, mature this gift that you've given me to mature. Because you don't go home until you go all the way home. You don't get done until you go home. Okay? So we're in it for the longevity. My encouragement to you is just know yourself. Know who you are in Christ, but don't let that lock you into a box. We don't lock God into a box. Don't lock yourself into a box, because God wants all of it for you. Who would have thought in my 30s or 40s that I'd ever be higher 60s and living in a school bus on the road full time? Didn't see that one coming. But I am exactly where I need to be in Christ, exactly with the families that I need to be with, speaking the word to you that he wants you to hear. Okay. Now, how can you encourage? Quite often in the Bible, Jesus in particular, but there, it's throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament, they use the example, the allegory of planting a seed, watering a seed, harvesting a seed, the whole nature road. And here's the thing. By our words, we plant seeds. By our actions, we plant seeds. Maybe one day a word comes up in your head and you just speak it out. You just watered. You just watered. We don't, there is not lines and lines and lines of crops. This is God's people, of which you're part. How are you going to plant a seed today? How are you going to water today? Or is today the day you get the Kleenex box back out and get to harvest? And yes, that is a tear fest. It really is. To lead somebody to the Lord. But I understand when I'm leading them to the Lord that it isn't me leading them to the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. And there's been a whole line of people before me planting seeds and watering and nurturing that ground and building it to the day where they come to be with God. And then there will be a whole line of people out in front of them that will help them nurture the gift and encourage them in it to bring it to harvest. And it goes out, and it goes out. So how are you going to plant a seed today? Okay, you're given gifts, you develop, you mature them, you work them. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't do it. You're not perfect. I know it. Everybody knows it. I'm not a perfect creature in Christ. What I am is I'm a work of grace. And you are as well. And don't despise small beginnings, because a teeniest, tiniest thing that you do to change your direction or to change your actions or to lean into God a little bit more, you don't know yet where that path is going to lead, other than that God's in charge and God grows things. You may not ever know. It may not ever come back to you. But if you ever could, and you could think, and you could see a child, like the children up here at the altar today praying, that's the result of a whole lot of seeds, not only in them, but in their parents, in their grandparents. That's longevity and legacy. And so I encourage you, don't despise small beginnings. If you don't like something that you're doing, you know it's against the word of the law, the word of the Lord. Begin to change it, but don't expect it to all happen overnight, because we're not perfect, and sometimes we move a whole lot slower than God does. And sometimes he moves a whole lot slower than we like him to anyway. Okay. That is all that I have on this one. I do want to read to you the word that I got. And in particular, who, if you've been here for 5 years or longer, can you raise your hand? Okay. Okay. So if you've been here, say 3 years, 4 years, somewhere in there, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. Those of you that have been here for a little while, you understand the stuff that has happened in this body. There's been corruption, there's been lies, there's been betrayal, there's been abandonment, there's been stuff. And by this time, stuff ain't good. But I come home to this church, one, because God tells me to come home to this church. Always do what the Lord says. But the main reason is I love the people of this church. And I understand some of the anguish that's gone on in this church over the past five years or so. The word that he had is out of Philemon, that he gave me is out of, oops, don't die on me now, phone. Okay, hang on 1 second. I'm going to pull it up because I'm going to read it verbatim. I have never read, is it, Keith, is it Philemon? Philemon, thank you. I have not read it up until this point. So this was new for me too. Okay, this is Paul writing, and he's writing to the church, and he has a definite message for this church. I always thank God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Now, if I could put my name into that, I am in contact with tons of different people from Christ's community, and I watch with awe at how you guys walk with grace with some of the stuff that's come to pass. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, and your kindness has often refreshed my heart. This is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I think I'm going to cry in heaven, too. You know, I don't think it's something I'm ever going to get over. I just hope they have Kleenex in heaven. Boy, that sounds like a book cover, doesn't it? That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer to simply ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I am bad at the Roman names. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. What I found out is Onesimus was a slave, and slaves operate certain ways and under certain conditions in that they don't expect people to be kind to them or to give them help or to love them, even though he became a brother in Christ. The word goes on, Paul goes on to say, I beg of you to receive him. He has much to offer you, and I beg you to love him, even as a brother in Christ, to accept him and take him in, and he will serve and serve well. And here these people are, Paul is asking them to take in a former slave. And it was a big thing. That was a big thing. So for them to offer compassion, it was a big ask that he was asking. And this is where it crosses into Christ's community. There are people that went to this church 5 years ago and that left. Maybe they left because of a pastor. Maybe they left because of a situation. Maybe they left because of anger or grief or I don't know what else it was. But there's a lot of crud floating in the atmosphere with some of the people that have left. And I think that there are people in this room that are in contact with some of those people. And the word of the Lord comes this morning and says, reach out to them. Reach out to them. It doesn't matter whether they come back to Christ Community Church. What matters is that they are okay with what happened, that there's forgiveness, that there's grace, that they know that fault, no fault, anger, no anger, that they're going to find peace in Christ, and it's your job to reach out to them. Now, that being said, do we want them to come back here? Well, maybe they can and maybe they can, and that really isn't the issue. What is the issue is that you were part of a time in their life that wasn't a great time, and it probably wasn't great for you either. But the Lord is asking you as a favor, because you love him, to pinpoint those people, whether they're kids, whether they're young adults, whether they're older people. If they're not church, invite them back in. Give them a gift. Give them a welcome. Say, come on in. We love you. We want you back. If they're already church someplace else, take them out to coffee. Fill out one of those pretty little cards out there in the lobby and just say, I miss talking to you. I miss being around you. I miss you being part of my body. Because sharp sharpens sharp. Knives sharpen sharp. Swords sharpen. You know what I'm talking about. We are... I am sorry for the mishmash, guys. We are church. We are family. And whether they're here or whether they're serving someplace else, they're family. And it's just a be aware. It's God saying, be aware, please. Know those people. Reach out to them. Doesn't matter whether they hate your guts. Doesn't matter. God's asking you to reach out to them. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Because that's the end of me. And I'm a teacher, so I handle questions just fine. Anybody? Yeah.
How much longer are you here for?
I leave on, I think I will, no, Wednesday, I think. I have to turn Poppy around, hook up the dolly, load the car up, and then put the engine block heater on so I can pull out Thursday morning. It's a kind of a long process, and it's cold here. I am going to where I can wear my sandals and my skirts again. depends on God. Probably March. I don't want to go to Centralia any earlier than April because it rains there until June. So, oh, I would love. Give me details. I'll drop a hat. I'll go. Hey, if there's people to reach for Christ and I can do it and be warm, I'd be happy camper. Anybody else? My refrigerator is working great, Chuck. Thank you so much. He came and fixed me. And thank you to Christy's friend Steve who fixed my tailpipe for me. And we are family. We truly are family, and I rely on my family. I'm living on the road full time. Who knows? Anybody else? Yes, Bethany. Does anybody know how to set up a website? Yeah. Who? You do? Jim, I need to talk to you. It's an e-commerce site, very simple. I don't have a lot of money to spend, but that's how you can support me. The Lord keeps giving me stuff. I've got a calendar coming out. It'll be done this winter time, and it's a start anytime calendar, so you're going to be able to buy it in July and still be right on the first one. It's Psalm 139. So talk to me. Give me dates. Anybody else? There's stuff. There's always stuff in the works, but I want to just encourage you. Okay, free table. Really fast. These are two-sided posters. Did a long time ago, but it's all scripture, and they usually all have a story to them. So please take one item per person, if you would. These are the newest thing, and they're coloring cards, and it's all Psalms. So these are really good, and Bethany, it was you that I was thinking of when I was doing this. It was sit down with your kids and give them the washable markers and you take the other ones and color and just talk to them about the Word of God. These are good for teenagers and women that need to de-stress. You sit down with the Lord and just use your felt pens and color the Word and think about what this verse means. It's always good. These are 6x9s, and they're all different inside there. These ones you actually just write a verse on and either write it for yourself, put it up on a mirror someplace so you can see it, or give it to a friend. They 6x9 envelopes, you can mail them, but they're all different. Some are flowers, some are scenes, some are, they're just pretty. And that's God's art through me to you. And then the last thing are postcards. Rosalia, I've got a stack of these for you. Rosalia is doing a ministry where she gets to mail out 5 times a week. And so these have the back of a postcard, and postcard right now is 42 cents, I think. So, but 42 cents. Think about, you could send out, well, 10 of them would be $4.20, and my favorite latte is $4.70. So you can encourage a lot of people by just sending out a card a day. And if you don't have their address, fill this out, take a picture of it, and send it to their email. It's modern, I know, modern day technology, go figure. Go and grab one. My love is with you always. I am so glad to be home. I'm glad to see you all. I hope I'll see you all in the spring when I come back all through. Thank you.